What was that laugh? I asked myself. I'm trying to recreate that as much as possible. I don't think I've ever laughed like that in my life.
That was new.
What is that? This is my new laugh for 2024.
New year, new laugh.
We have a spanking new podcast for your ear holes called Doom Generation.
Available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Later, Doomers.
Hi, it's Auralyn from Spooky and Strange, and I'm here to remind you that this podcast contains mature language, so please be mindful of who around you can hear it. Also, we assume that you have watched the show that we will be discussing, because there are spoilers ahead, but really, it's been out for a while, so get caught up already. Enjoy!
I just, I ordered some pork fried rice for delivery. Because I was looking at what I have to cook and I was like looking at the time and I was like, no,
doing this tonight. Nope.
It's 7:25 right now. So like, don't be a hero.
Don't try to plan this. No.
Right. Like it's fine. Just have food that will be there when you're, yeah.
When you're ready to do it. Yeah. And easily heat upable too. Cause
that's yeah. Fried rice is one of those good things.
Yeah. I love that. Love it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Rewatch Recap. It is Dustin here from Dustin Can Read and Watch, here with Auralyn of Spooky and Strange. How are we today, Auralyn?
We are magically halfway through season 9. No, more than halfway.
I know. We're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Things are happening.
But so much happens in one episode, so it's like we got a lot of crap to go through before the finale, that's for sure.
I know. I can't believe how much we've already gone through in season 2.
I know. Ugh. I just realized, by the way, at the end of the last episode, I said this was episode 8. It's episode 9.
Episode 9.
It's so weird. Wow. It feels like we went through this season a lot faster than the first season.
It does, but it's the same amount of episodes, isn't it?
I know. I guess just because we got used to it. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was.
I think we're in the groove now.
We ripped the
Band-Aid
off.
And we don't have to do all the exposition. We're just like, okay, things are happening.
We're over here in Fillory. We're over here at Breakbills. We're in New York.
We don't have to like set things up anymore.
Weird shit's happening. It's crazy. Crazy, guys. So, yeah, we're going to get into this episode, season 2, episode 8, called Lesser Evils Now. Previously on The Magicians, Julia found out that Dana had a baby that was, quote, influential? We learned that Julia's shade was severed when she got her, exorcist slash...
Magibortion.
Yeah, I guess that's what you could call it. So basically, she has no conscience now. In Fillory, the brownouts are getting greater and greater and more often, and the war with Loria is a-coming. Alice tried to get Friar Joseph Niffin to help her out, and he said, not till you get out of this magician, but Quentin is about to die because he can't handle living with a Niffin.
That reminds like a sitcom. Me, I was thinking of one of those like romantic comedy kind of books that are huge right now, and they all have fun titles.
Living with a Niffin. I really want to write that now, or some kind of fanfic, you know, or like a WandaVision type sitcom with them. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that would be fun. And like, it could be like what he dreams during like the hour or something.
Oh,
every day. And it can be like rotating sitcom scenes.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Oh, man. We could just go back. That'd be great. Oh. Okay. Now we're into this episode. Take it away.
So back to reality. Quentin is shirtless and in a cage, and he's like, why am I here? What's going on? And Fogg says, this is protocol. And Quentin's like, for werewolves, it's not like I'm a werewolf. Unlike Josh, who says he only has a very mild case of sexually transmitted lycanthropy.
I mean, man, that would suck to get it that way. And not even, I mean, I would rather just be bit. So that way I knew I was becoming a werewolf, you know?
Yeah. Although it is kind of like on Buffy when he calls and he's like, oh, yeah, so my cousin who bit me, he's a werewolf? Yeah? Oh, okay.
Okay,
it wasn't cool. Like an immediate. Anyway, Fogg is like, this is protocol. And Quentin is like, don't go through my bag. Because that's all he's like not understanding the severity of.
Stay out of my stuff.
What's going on? Because the medical professor is like, Quentin, you're dying. And he's like, yeah, well, aren't we all? And she's like, very quickly, you are dying in a matter of days.
She's like, no, you're dying more quickly than others. Then,
and Fogg goes, box her. And Quentin is like, no, because he loves Alice, even though it isn't really Alice. It's magic and it's killing him. And he's like, nobody knows. No, we're in uncharted territory, says the first year Brakeville student who has been to one class. I bet somebody has tried this before, you idiot.
I mean, come on.
And Quentin is going to like literally die if he doesn't do something about Niff and Alice. And all he cares about is Penny is taking something out of his bag.
Don't touch my bag.
And then he does take something and he's like, good luck with your shit. And he is out. He literally says that. I am not exaggerating. And then we see like the magic brownouts are continuing, not just in Fillory, but also at Brakeville's. So it's getting pretty bad.
And it literally looks like a power brownout. Like everything's flickering.
Yeah, literally. So it also tells us that everything is running on magic that they do. Everything is running on magic.
I mean, if you think about it, Brakeville's has to run on magical electricity, because, I mean, they're not supposed to be known.
Yeah, they don't exist. So you can't hook up to the utility.
I mean, but
right?
Didn't they just get some damn solar powered stuff? I don't know.
Anyway. Solar power would be very smart, especially with like the spells you could probably do to like amplify or like battery.
Exactly. And having like the natural magicians, they could like keep it brightly sunny.
You know what it is? It's what? Really funny. It's such a good reflection of our world, where there are so many optimizations and ways we could do things better. And if you looked at it, you'd be like, well, why don't you do these things?
And you know there's politics.
It's because they're
involved.
So consumed with their own petty problems and interrelations and battles and stuff. It's
and
exactly
creating more
the
problems
thing.
As they're trying to fix these
yes.
problems. And yeah,
it's so well done that it doesn't feel like you're watching someone being like, look, this is us. It's just really well done.
Yeah. And you're so mad because it is so much like
right.
us. That's the thing.
So frustrating. They're so human. And back at Castle Whitespire, Margot is saying they may be the least trusted monarchs in the history of Fillory. And I wrote, that's really hard to believe considering they had child rulers, like 6-year-olds, but okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, children are honest. They're really honest and they're upfront most of the time. So I guess.
I wouldn't trust them to rule a country.
No,
though.
I mean, I wouldn't let them rule, but I mean, I would trust them as far as they're being honest about things. That's the only thing I would trust.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, their soldiers are deserting because of Julia's tree genocide. And now they're trying to fight a war without an army. So, like, everything's going wrong.
I love how Tick Pickwick's like, no, can we call it Arborside? Because it just sounds bad the other way.
Like, it does sound bad. It's pretty bad.
Anything with side in it, it's going to sound bad.
Julia did a genocide. Yeah. And then the other court, a royal assistant, is like, there is one other crazy legal historical option. One-on-one combat. Or a duel. Oh God, duels are so stupid. Like, this is so dumb.
I mean, and the whole, let's take the glove off and slap somebody in the face. I'm like, just tell them you're gonna duel. Like, that's just humiliating.
Everything about duels is stupid, but Elliot is like, look, I'm actually pretty buff now, and I have magic. Like, he hasn't been in this world already for enough months to realize everything goes to shit, but okay. Tick, however, we're on the same page. He's like, look, there's a reason we haven't brought this up to you, especially with the magical brownouts. You're likely to, well, die.
Because you're not good at this. You're just not. I'm just
right.
Sorry.
But Elliot is like, okay, but if I do, how popular will I be? And he's like, well, you'd be the first leader to ever do so. And if you survive, well, you'd be the greatest leader in Fillorian history.
Hmm.
tick. You set yourself up for that one. Because how can he resist?
How do you not know his ego by now? Come on.
Right. And Margot says, God, he's already seeing the statues. And then Magician's Opening. Penny and Katie are in Fillory. And Penny is like, Katie's like, Elliot is the king of all this? And she like knocks out a guard with magic. And Penny says, don't be fooled by the high gloss. This place sucks.
It does, though. And he's being truthful.
It does. It totally sucks. They break into Julia's jail room. Sweet. And she's like, oh, cool. This is a breakout. Like, she's very like, oh, amazing. And Penny's like, we found Reynard's son. And he's like, and why are you here? She's like, I killed trees. She's really downplaying it a bit. Yeah. She did a genocide.
Yeah. And she was like, well, talking trees.
Yeah. And Katie says, they have talking trees here? And Julia goes, not anymore. Like a demon.
I mean, if I okay, you know, I know that Penny and Katie probably didn't read the Fillory books. They just don't seem like they would have. They probably know about them enough by now from everybody. Yeah. Like, there's talking animals or stuff. And you killed talking trees and you're laughing about it? Like, that's messed up.
Yeah. But anyway, Penny's like, okay, let's go find Reynard's son. But we get no details before we are with Q and Niff and Alice and Josh peeing in the corner. Why is there so much, like, pee and poop in the show? I know it's a reality of life and, like, I have often thought, like, wow, that gets cut out of fantasy and sci-fi books all the time. Like, realistically, you would have to, like, find a bathroom on your quest.
It's cut out of everything all the time. I'm like, did they ever go to the bathroom? Like,
right. It's like people are magical robots who never have to pee.
Do they take more than two bites of any meal? Like,
right. Like, on the one hand, I appreciate it. On the other hand, there's just a lot of, like, bodily excretions in the show.
Oh, yeah.
And Niff and Alice is, like, pleading her case to Q, how she just wants to do what Joseph does. And Q's like, I'm not letting you loose, but I can't box you up either. And she's like, we'll keep this up and we'll both be dead. And it's like, yeah, you have to do something. What is your plan? What are you doing? You're dying.
It's like he really does have this martyr syndrome, too. About
yeah, because of course, if he was like, I died for love, and it'd be like, no, you didn't. You died for
like, I want to look good reasons. That's the only
right. That's yeah. not, yeah. Anyway, cut to our other little baby boy, Elliot, playing with a sword. And Margot asking if he's ever touched a sword before today. And they skip the obvious double entendre, which is shocking to me. It's because Margot is seriously concerned about Elliot in this duel.
We're not playing this
like,
game.
Like,
she right
can't
now.
Even do that. She's like, are you sure about this? I did some reading. King Idri has fought 14 duels and won them all.
None of the others survived.
Your odds are real bad.
Could you imagine, like, this dude, like, kills 14 people, all, you know, and you come in your very first duel and you win? Like, oh, how bad, how awesome are you? Or how bad did he become?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, the odds are just so far against you. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, I can't. You shouldn't do it. You just shouldn't do it. But
don't do it.
Cut to NYC, where Penny, Katie, and Julia are watching a video of a senator named John Gaines, who's on the rails to the White House. Penny says he jumped to a rally and did a psychic scan, and dude really believes everything he says. And let's cut to Gaines saying, I believe that everyone is born with a flame of goodness, and if my light or yours go out, remember, we're not alone in this world. And he has a bit of a Kennedy accent that I can't do. But
he's trying. Yeah, he's trying to.
Yeah.
It's Christopher Gorham. That's what his name is, the actor. And
I like him generally.
The first thing I think I saw him and that I remember him from was Ugly Betty. As like,
I can't think of what I know him from. He's just like around.
But he always looks this geeky looking guy. And then he takes off his shirt and you're like, he is so ripped. You're like, damn, where the hell did that come from? Like, you wouldn't see it on.
Oh, nice.
Just like, wow.
I love that type. The nerdy type that is like secretly buff. Oh,
Yeah, and you're like, all of a sudden, you can chop wood?
But they're still, like, super pale because they spend all their time inside, like, reading books and playing video games.
Like
a butt cut
and, like, the glasses, the yeah, thing. You're like,
that's my type. it's very out of vogue. Anyway, Penny says that this guy has more magic coming off him than every other magician combined, which is insane to think about. And my first thought, I'm a bit of a Julia, was, can they melt him down into usable magic?
You know what, though? That's what I was thinking. Like, is he's kind of like their own little battery. Can they just, like, hook him up to something and just, like, drain the magic out of him and use it?
We're good people, I promise. We would never do that. But that's where our creative brains go.
But, yeah, in this type of world, this is what you should probably be thinking, you know?
Yeah, you got to survive. There are brownouts. All right, back to Fillory. Elliot is still sword practicing, and this time, Fan approaches him. And he says, if you told me a year ago that I'd be venting to my wife while preparing to do battle on behalf of my mythical kingdom, I'd have done a lot more drugs. And isn't that the truth?
Would you have done more drugs because you were going to have to do that, or done more drugs because you're telling me this? Like,
Fan says she has something that might help. And he's a little bit wary after, you know, the rebels and
Every time she comes to him and says she has something to say, it's not, I'm pregnant. And by the way,
I don't think they have casual chats. They need more just like casual conversation.
They really do. Bring some stuff up, guys. Learn about each other. Yeah. Come on.
But anyway, she says, it's a magical sword made for a king. Fen's grandpa was the royal family's favorite swordsmith. Which royal family? Was it the children? I'm so curious about the other, like, royal families.
It does make me think that it might have been...
the children!
I know. And did they pull, like, a Narnia? Did they grow old and then go back and all of a sudden they were kids again?
I'm pretty sure they grew older. I don't know how old they got, but...
okay.
I think they grew older, but then, like, Narnia, it also, like, started kicking them out or, like, stopping from letting them... Come back
at a certain age.
It's hard to remember the differences because I never finished the Narnia books, and so I know way more about Fillory now.
Yeah, I got like there's like seven Narnia books, isn't there? And yeah. I think I got through the first four.
That's it. I tried rereading them as an adult, and I was like, the allegory, it's so subtle. It's not. But anyway. Oh, they're remaking those movies, you know.
Yeah, I think it's Greta Gerwig.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
And it's going to be a Netflix series.
I think a series is better because they have more time to build up to stuff.
And they
movies were so fast.
And they could film a lot more of the series ready ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, for the kids, we're not grow up too fast, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, with this spell and this royal blade... Elliot can be a master swordsman. Elliot finally says, like, something double entendre, and I really think it should have been Margot.
Yeah, it should have been.
Elliot reads the sword spell and unsheaths it. It shimmers, and we get a little do-do-do-do-do-do. Elliot says he feels marginally less fucked now, and then Fen says she's pregnant. Her timing, impeccable.
Oh, Finn.
He just got a little bit of hope. And she's like, by the way, don't die because you have a baby. And he's like, I'm going to try not to die.
That's good to hear. That's always good to hear.
In Washington, D.C., where we're not usually in the Magicians.
No.
Senator Gaines is working late.
In grayscale again. Like... why is everything grayscale? Come on, guys.
Because there's no magic.
Whatever.
Gaines is working late in his office when Penny, Katie, and Julia literally storm in and, like, kick the doors open. It's very, like, aggressive. He tries to call security and ask what they want, and Julia's like, let's get to it, and slams the door closed. Like, they are not trying to make friends. They're not like, hello, Senator, how are you? No. Julia's like, magic is real. And they just start doing a bunch of magic shit in front of him.
Like, oh my God. Like, okay, so first of all, she did the whole door close thing. And then, Penny, like, pops around him. like in traveling.
It's
I'm like,
so
that
fast.
Would freak me out right there.
Yeah.
And then freaking like Katie like she blasts some battle magic and knocks all the shit off his desk. I'm like, dude. Yeah.
And then Julia makes fire. It's very aggressive to where you're like, I would not know what was going on.
One thing what was all I would have needed. One thing.
Right.
I would needed all of that to explain that magic was real. Just one thing. I got it. I'm there with you. All right.
I mean, the way this happened, I would 100% think like, oh my God, I'm having a brain aneurysm. Like something exploded in my brain. And like,
I might have a heart attack from thinking that, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then I'd probably like make it happen.
Yes. So like he's shocked and he's like, is this for a TV show? And Demon Julia is just like, fuck this. Let's just kill him. And Penny's like, whoa.
She like brings out a blade. And
she's like, talking is taking too long. You're barely talking.
You haven't even really said hi. You just walked on in like, let's just kill him. Like, whoa.
And Katie's like, no. But Julia has the whole thing thought out. And she's already like, look, I planned it. I have a little container for his energy.
Little metal ball she's got.
Just a teeny little... and Katie's like, Katie has an expression of like, oh fuck. And Gaines is like, get the fuck out of my office. I won't die here tonight. And that's probably what I would be like that too. I would
no,
be like,
I won't. And I love how you did your hand, like the classic politician thing with the thumb. I will not die here tonight. You know?
And in his rage and like desperation to survive, he does magic and then passes out. And Julia still tries to kill him.
She knocks them all down on the floor and then like, whoa. And she like jumps up and starts to like lunge at him.
All right, knife time. And Penny's like, no, but we are going to do something almost as stupid. And I assume kidnapping, which I'd say might be worse of a crime these days.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because that person can tell the tale. Yeah.
Yeah. But back in Fillory, Margot is consulting with the sloth to ensure that magic will be available during the duel. Because they can't ensure that the wellspring will stay up. And there is something, but they urge her not to do it. So she probably shouldn't do it.
Then they shouldn't have brought it up.
Right. Shouldn't they learn that by now? Anything they bring up, Elliot and Margaret would be like, yeah, that. Let's do that.
They're like, there's a reason why we didn't bring it up. Well, you shouldn't have brought it up now then.
Don't bring it up.
Just don't do it.
This time, it's petition the fairies. And Margaret's like, fairies? There are fairies too. You have learned nothing about Fillory. It's like they were, it's probably how they were at Breakbills. Like,
I mean, yeah.
They're just uninterested in anything except like preserving their power and like status.
Yeah. It's all about like feeling good, looking good, everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with actual life.
Right. Or the fact that they're responsible for like, millions of beings? Millions,
apparently,
maybe?
But there's thousands of soldiers. You got to think there's going to be thousands right. more people and other things. So,
anyway, fairies exist outside of Fillory. Where? In space? On another donut? Like, what is this? In another land on the donut? You
one
know what
the
I mean? Like,
places? Like, I mean, Fillory itself is in a planet. It's just a slab of land floating in space. So,
is that not a planet?
I mean, kind of, but not like a traditional planet you would think of as a sphere, you know, that's what you think of when you think of a planet, you know, so.
Yeah, but are we just being like planet normative?
Don't be planet prejudiced, Dustin. Terra prejudice. There you go.
People for square planets. People for
flat earthers.
Planets. Oh no, I backed into flat earth somehow.
I mean, somehow you did. Oh my God. I gotta tell you this though. Somebody actually tried, somebody close to me, and I'm not gonna say who, because I doubt they're gonna hear this, but if they ever do, they try to tell me that they were thinking about, oh, maybe we're just under a dome. And it's a
what?
Maybe we're just under a
we
dome.
Have rockets.
And it is, and it's a flat earth, and everything we've been told about rockets and stuff, it's all fake, and we're basically in an atrium or some shit. I'm like, what?
What? That one's new to me. That's dark. Okay. And dumb. Dark and dumb doesn't usually go together, but like.
Well, this person was a MAGA person, so you can't really.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just start telling them about Fillory, and maybe they'll. Believe it's real.
It'll explode.
You were right, but it's not flat. It's a donut. Really blow their mind. Like,
and there's an underside that we find out about later. Just FYI.
It's a donut. It's not a line. It's a donut. Anyway, where's the I don't know. Anyway, fairies exist. Can they fix the wellspring? The sloth is like, yes. And she's like, oh my God, what the fuck, guys? But the sloth is like, the fairies are notoriously mercurial. They make complex deals with steep prices. Contacting their ambassador can take days, even weeks. Basically, don't do it. Like, it's a bad
idea. There's all these loopholes we got to jump through, and it's not good loopholes. Like,
and like, this is already a last resort. And Margo is like, get me a meeting.
Damn her. I swear. I love her, though. Meanwhile, still love her.
Penny, Katie, and Julia kidnapped the senator and brought him to the physical house. What the fuck? This is such a bad idea. They put him in a closet in the physical house, even though they tell Todd that, of course, they didn't just put a U.S. senator in the closet, like, bound and gagged.
Todd's like, oh, okay. You're like, come on, Todd.
Penny asks what they're going to do when he wakes up, and he tells Julia to stay away because she's trying to murder him. Katie volunteers to keep watch, and like, she sticks up a bit for Julia, and Penny says, that's not Julia.
And true.
That is a philosophical discussion that we will get into a lot in the show.
Which is which? Who's who?
Yeah. I mean, it is Julia, but if she is missing a part of her essence, what does that mean?
It's not the full Julia, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. Like, we, yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, back in Fillory, Elliot is sword fighting. I don't know if he's sleeping. He's just round the clock, like, sword fighting with people in the castle. Because he's getting pretty good. It sounds
like another, like, he's constantly screwing guys, constantly.
Oh my God. T-shirt idea, guys, is some kind of like Elliot, King Elliot Swordmaster or something.
Love sword fighting. Yeah.
Margo asks what's wrong, and he says, well, the sword is good and the spell is great, but if he loses, all of them are dead or imprisoned. Yeah. And he's like, why didn't I see how huge this is? Yeah. But I'm glad he's like admitting it, and he's like, I'm scared. And she goes, I'm thinking of you in your high school production of Les Mis. Oh, go with me. And she says,
sit with me on this.
She keeps reading about war and battles. And I'm so curious, is she talking about like Fillorian history books? Who's writing them? What? I don't know. Anyway, she keeps coming across soldiers who sing going into battle to like stabilize their confidence and project power and like throw the enemy off.
Well, that's a total thing. That's real. I know that. I know they do that in actual combat here.
Crazy. Yeah. And she asks him to sing. And he's like, well, I can't do it alone. And she conjures a magical orchestra. And Elliot starts to sing One Day More from Les Mis. Like, the full thing. He starts singing. Margot's not really a singer, bless her heart. But I love when Fenn comes in. It's so beautiful.
You know what, though? She and Margot do have a good harmony.
They do. Margot, the actress, is so amazing. But she's just not a singer. Like, no. When it's
she has
fine.
Kind of a deeper voice, and you know, and she's kind of like, it's very B. Arthur to me, like,
yeah. But yeah. Fenn, the actress who plays Fenn, has a beautiful voice, and like the lines she sings, like, really highlight her character in a nice way, and she gets a little spotlight. And then the members of the court come in singing the song, and Elliot and Margot and Fenn lead a singing chorus, like, out of the castle and onto the battlefield.
My favorite part is Margot's like, sorry, I skipped some verses. They're great, but they don't really apply to our situation.
True.
And I'm like, thank you for telling the audience that, Margot. Yeah. It's perfect.
And my note here is like, if you like this, good. And if you don't like this, bad news for the rest of the magicians.
I don't really like Les Mis. I don't mind the number. Yeah. But
I more mean, like, if you don't like the singing thing in the show, like, it's going to become a bigger aspect. Yeah,
it happens a little bit more, guys. So
yeah. So they approach the duel singing, this, like, big group of court and subjects and
waving
Elliot
the flag.
And
yeah, everything.
And
I
King
love
Idri
Elliot's
goes,
outfit.
I'm confused.
Idri's like, what is going on?
And Elliot goes, it's a metaphor.
I love women don't like that. It's a metaphor. But by the way, King Idri is Leonard Roberts, a.k.a. Forrest from Buffy. He worked alongside. He's the one that was...
Oh my God, he was one of the commandos.
Yeah, he was the one that Adam turned into one of a cyborg as well. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Elliot unsheaths his magical sword and King Idri says, "I'm sorry to have to kill you." And Elliot says, "I've died before, like a real badass."
Doesn't seem to stick. I'm like, that was very much a Buffy line right there.
Yeah, he prepared that one. That's fine. If I were going into a duel, I would also be running lines. Like, yeah, like I get some one-liners.
If they say this, I'm
going to
say
off.
This. I got to look cool. Yeah.
Right. They start to duel. Elliot's arm is cut a little bit. And King Idri, like, runs away. And they're like, can he do that? And I guess in Fillory, they can. And, like, duels can just move, which is weird and stupid. So, like, Elliot runs off after him.
He just runs off. And, like, so did I win? Like, no. Right.
That's not the kind of duels we know. Back in prison, Quentin says, this is so fucking boring. He can see magic in a thousand dimensions at once. And Demon Julia goes, you're not Quentin. And recognizes Niffin Ellis.
Yeah.
And Niffin Ellis
is
like...
weird. Like two different types of people inside in their... You know, it's
really interesting. Niffin Ellis is like, but Julia, what do you want now that your shade is gone? Your thoughts are pure, unencumbered. Niffin Ellis is like, we're the same, you and me. But she's literally killing Quentin's body and it faints.
Yeah.
Because it can't hold all this. And then, oh no, Reynard is outside of break bills. Oh shit, y'all. I was like, oh no. He's speaking telepathically to Gaines, who is in the physical house, and he's like crying out for him from the physical house closet. And Reynard is like, your place is with me. Feel the force.
You don't like them. These are not the people, the magicians you're looking for, that kind of shit. Yeah.
Join me and rule the galaxy, Luke. And Gaines is freaking out because he has like a demon voice in his head. And he's like, what is going on? So Petty and Katie finally take him to the hospital wing where Fogg is already tending to Quentin, who is like incapacitated, unconscious. And Fogg is like, what fucking now? Of course that's a kidnapped senator in my school, in my hospital wing. Of course it is.
I mean, at this point, do you bat an eye? Do you even bat an eye?
I mean, dude, just get pay more attention, get more teachers. I don't know what the answer is, but you're not managing well.
Yeah. Like, how about you have an alarm that goes off and alerts you when a non-student is on grounds? Like, any non-student. Not
they
just
don't
like the whole
have
alumni.
That. They don't have,
like,
have that.
Oh, I have an alumni key. Well, it's like, yeah, but you're not a student.
There are way too many alumni keys floating around. You would not. Yeah. Don't do that. What? Anyway, Fogg. Elliot is chasing King Idri through the forest, and they sword fight some more, and Margot and Pick are watching, and it's, like, kind of going okay, I guess. Back at Breakbills, Fogg is like, Penny's talking about Reynard getting in, and Fogg is like, we put up some better wards after the Beast. And Penny is like,
is it gonna hold though?
I don't know. And they put a psychic interference patch on Gaines. Why aren't they all wearing these all the time? What's going on?
Considering like stuff like the Beast was happening.
Right.
Yeah,
why aren't
everything.
You just anyway? And Gaines apologizes for freaking out and says he hopes he's in a mental ward. He's taking it really well.
Yeah. The fact that he's apologizing, you're like, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. He's like bizarrely calm. Anyway, back at the duel, Margot is told she has to return to Castle Whitespire immediately to meet with the fairy ambassador. I don't want her to do this.
I just love how there's a fairy ambassador, but it's a human person. That's what's funny.
They're
human.
Back in the forest, sword fighting, Elliot looks like he's about to win. But of course, at that moment, there's a magical brownout and the sword goes dead. And I don't understand why he can't still like stab it through this guy's fucking throat like he practiced without magic.
Is it that heavy? He makes it look like it's really heavy.
It makes it seem like it's too heavy to hold, but he did all that practice. I don't understand what happened, but I think it's because we couldn't watch Elliot murder somebody. this early. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
We didn't want to see something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he flees. And then, oh my God, red alert, back at Break Bills. The brownout causes the wards to fail. And Reynard walks the fuck in. Of course he did, Fogg. I want to slap you in the face.
And just waltz right in. Ooh, just walks. Better wards. Like, yeah, but right there's no magic. In. You know.
There's no plan B. Anyway, Quentin chooses this moment to wake up or whatever. And Julia helps him up. And everybody runs into a specially warded room that has a magical generator. Is it inside the room? Otherwise, it's really insecure. Also, how long does it last? Because Reynard can just stand up. It's not like Break Bills is going to move.
And then you have like a whole room full of people who could just be blown away at once. Like,
right? Fog. Anyway, back at the forest, Elliot is running and he falls. And back at Castle Whitespire, Margot wants to know who she's making the deal with because she's like, I want to save him, but I can't just make a crazy deal. And the ambassador's like, that's impossible. Like, you make a deal with me. The laws of the fairies are implacable.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, so they can bring back the Wellspring. And he's like, they can. She's like, what do they want in return? And he says, a royal child. She says, they aren't going to eat it, are they? Fair question. And he says, no, it'll be raised as a fairy. And Margot's like, okay, I could get knocked up. And he's like, no.
I mean,
that would be my thought too. Like, oh, you need a baby? I can get a baby.
I'll pop one out for you.
I can get a baby. And he's like, no, we want the one that is currently in Fen. And Margot's like, fuck no. And it turns out she offended the ambassador and they won't talk anymore. And it's either this deal for Fen's baby or no deal.
I'm like, really? Because she said, what the fuck? And you questioned him and that insulted him. I'm like, oh, yeah. Whatever. He's human.
Yeah. And Margot just considers. But we jump back to Break Bills, where Gaines is like trying to come to grips with everything. Honestly, it would take months. This is insane. And because Katie is like, hasn't everything ever gone your way? And he's like, well, sure, but I've struggled. Like, my parents died. And she's like, yeah, and they left you like $2 million, right? Or whatever. Like, they left you some amount of money, right? And he's like, are you saying I like killed my parents with magic? And she's like, no, just things go your way, right? Like, you don't fail at things.
Right. Things easily come to you. That's called white privilege, everyone.
It actually, this is like extreme version of this, but it's a great metaphor.
It's wealth and white privilege. It's both.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's like, so my birth father's a god and I'm a demigod. And then he says the stupidest fucking sentence that a man has said. Why the hell did it take me a year to pass the most boring farm bill in the history of the Senate? A year? A year?
Just a year?
Bro. Bro. And she's like, come on. Has any bill you've ever sponsored failed? And he's like, holy shit.
How would you not realize this? Unless you're being told that things, like maybe it's just you're kind of gaslight yourself. Yeah, you gaslight yourself. You basically gaslight yourself.
You just think like, yeah, this is how life goes. Everything turns up for me.
And
right?
I had to work really hard for it. I'm like, you did not work as hard as you think you did.
But he thinks he worked hard.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Anyway, back in the, speaking of men who failed upwards, Elliot is climbing a tree.
Quite literally.
And Idri finds him and starts chopping down the tree. Just climb the tree and stab him. I don't understand.
Why would you just wait then? He's going to have to come down eventually. Like, and you're exerting all this energy with a sword, not even an axe.
Yeah, that's terrible on your back and shoulders. Like, and that was a thick ass tree. It's dumb. They're all dumb. Back at the castle, Margot's talking to Fen and she's like, he's going to lose. I'm actually not confident he's going to lose. This has been fairly evenly matched so far from what we've seen. Yeah, and if magic comes back, like...
Idri doesn't look... I don't know. The fact that he's doing this stupid thing with trying to chop down the tree, I'm like, you're not that smart.
I don't like it. But anyway, Margot is convinced. And Fen is like, you have to do something. And Margot's like, I think I can. But I need you to promise me that you'll do anything I ask of you if this all goes our way. Anything. But she doesn't tell Fern the terms of the deal.
She would say no right away. Right then.
Being a snake. And Fenn, of course, is like, oh my God, anything, of course, and leaves. And Margot is such a snake. And the ambassador is like, you're very skillful. And she says, I'm a manipulative cunt. Fix the wellspring. Ooh. That's my queen.
Yeah, but yeah, she did it on purpose. I mean,
that's
obviously
a literal deal with the devil. Because like, I still think Fenn, because she loves Fillory so much, would have agreed to it and just been heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like, she wants the best for everybody. I think if Margot said, like, this is the only deal they've offered and this is what I'm looking at, I think Fenn is a reasonable person, as she's shown. So this is extra frustrating.
But the fact that Margot's doing it and not on behalf of somebody else, it's like,
it's so wrong. But yeah, I this could have been such a like sisterhood moment of being like, okay, Fenn, here's what's on the table. Here's what I'm literally looking at right now and what I'm
should
considering.
We do this? I'm leaving right. It up to you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But she didn't, and it's gonna come back to bite her in the ass. But back in the forest, King Idri says he wishes magic hadn't gone out so we could have a real duel. And Elliot is like, you know, magic going out is bad for everyone. And Idri says his people are so used to scarcity, it won't be that different. And it really seems like Fillory has been pretty poor and rough.
Mm-hmm.
For most of its, like, citizens. Like, yeah. This is not, like, a magical land of plenty.
No, and, like, everybody is, and they don't know how to do anything because they rely right. so much on magic to, like, grow their foods.
But
and,
even
like-
with magic, well, he says his people are so used to scarcity that I wonder if, like, Fillory sucks up all the magic.
Yeah, that's their spring.
Right.
They use the majority of the magic from it, so.
While Elliot is talking, somehow, because he's a fuckboy, he manages to work in that he's sexually frustrated in his don't kill me speech. Hello, what are you doing? And Idri's-
Yeah, he's totally like, he's baiting.
Yeah, absolutely. And Idri is like, I hate to do it, but one of us has to die. But they end up, like, giving each other more and more physical compliments and, like, kind of flirting. And I'm like, are they going to kiss?
They want to bang. That's for damn sure. You
yeah,
know
it's
that.
Very, like, the tension starts to build and you're like, wait.
Idri's like, it's too bad. You know, you were really hot. I think you're kind of hot. I hate that I had to kill you.
Like, let's what? Do some sword fighting.
Ba-doom.
Back at Break Bills. Demon Julia is living up to the nickname when she locks Quentin inside, like, wards and gives him to Reynard. Like, she's, like, walking him outside, and he's like, oh, you figured out something else to fight Reynard? And she's like, yep, bitch. I'm sorry, like...
You got my money? Well, that's what you get, you know.
That's what, she, like, literally was like... Bitch, don't get eaten.
Eat or be eaten, yeah.
Yeah, Reynard is like, I'm going to eat you. And then Niff and Alice is like, oh, holy shit, let me out.
Oh my God, he was like, you think this Niffin's going to do anything to me? You're like,
right,
dude.
She's like, get me out, he's going to eat us.
This is where Julia really went too far, like really
too
far.
This is beyond too far. Yeah, this is insane. And Julia's like, Alice is a killing machine right now. Make a deal with her and let her free. Oh my God, Julia, what are you doing? Like, you can't. And she's like, do it or we'll all die. Like, oh my God.
Girl, do you know for sure this is going to work? Do you know 100%?
She doesn't even know. She's just like, Q, do it or else we're all going to die. And of course he's like, what the fuck just happened?
What?
He also like just regained consciousness a few yeah. minutes ago. Like
he's
is
barely
still-
walking.
So Reynard starts taunting Julia, but she's like, no, no, try to kill him first.
No.
Like, literally, Reynard, like, grabs Q, and Niff and Alice is like, let me out, I'll kill him. But of course Reynard gets control of the situation in an instant because he's terrifying and super magical. And he's so powerful, he starts freezing people and stopping them in place.
Yeah, Penny tries to jump him out, and he's like, nope, not going to let that happen. I learned my lesson.
It's so scary, and he says he's going to start killing them. And considering what he did to Marina, he's going to start, like, eating people's fingers and stuff. And, like, Julia, like, wants to go at him because I think she experiences a moment of like, holy shit, I think what I just did was wrong and this is really bad. Like, she has an expression of like waking up a little bit.
Oh, where wait, she's like, this isn't working. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Katie stops her because Gaines is walking up and Reynard says, my son. Mm-mm-mm. And Gaines is like, don't hurt these people. And Reynard's like, oh, no, no, I was just going to kill them so they wouldn't kill each other. I'm not hurting them.
I was trying to protect them from themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, no, I won't. Come closer, closer. And then he grabs Gaines' hand and they both whoosh off to we don't know where.
Ugh.
But they're gone. And then we see mysterious hands in the magical wellspring. And back in Fillory, Elliot says magic came, or yeah, Elliot says magic came back and he respells the sword and he jumps out of the tree. And we're like, yeah, okay, we're back.
Yay.
But because of the mysterious hands in the wellspring, we know Margot made the deal and like it's already done. Mm. You better kill this guy, Elliot. Dude. But Julia wakes up in a giant locked room first. It's literally she wakes up in the corner of this like giant room and she tries to like magic her way out the door and nothing happens. And Katie opens like the door slot, like a prison slot.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the Vampire Diaries, like the basement.
Yes.
Katie says this is the clean room and there's no magic in here, which they've had this the whole time. They couldn't have put Marina in here and just let her be safe and not die and not do magic.
I mean, was this at Bright Bills or is this at Castle White Spire?
I thought like, it was a Break Bills because that's where she last was.
Where they left off, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I don't know why the room looked like Castle Whitespire to me. But
it looked older than a lot of Break Bills. It had that like weird. Anyway, Julia's like enraged. And Katie explains that she can't make excuses for her anymore after what she did to Quentin. Agree. We're all on the same page that that was too far. Like everybody knows Julia has a one-track mind, but like this is too much. She doesn't feel like a human anymore. And Katie says, I hope we can figure something out. But until then, you're staying here.
Bye, bitch.
Slam. And then Elliot returns to the castle alive and triumphant.
Victorious.
Fenn is in disbelief. And so is Margot when King Idri walks in as well, alive, as an honored guest.
Uh-oh.
We made an agreement, Idri says. And Elliot finishes by saying, we're getting married. No one told me I could have a husband and a wife. And he says, we're all just one big royal polyamorous family. And he literally starts to pull in like the king and Fenn.
Fenn is not looking thrilled about this.
No. And Margo's like, can we talk for a second? And they like walk 5 feet away to confer. And Elliot says, so what? You fucked his son. It doesn't have to be weird. And Margo's like, I'm more on the, are you sure this is a good idea, page. And he says, sometimes you have to sacrifice for diplomacy, which is like the most cutting statement to say to Margot, who just made a deal with the devil to like save your fucking ass and you didn't even win the duel.
You didn't even try to win the duel. You just tried to get hooked
try.
Up. That's it.
And Tick shares that the wellspring is now reviving. And King Idri is excited because it turns out he now has 50% access to the wellspring.
Uh-oh.
Which is news to Margot, who has started seeing ominous hovering fairies out of the corner of her eye.
Just watching.
Mm-mm.
They're waiting for that baby.
Somewhere else, Quentin is apologizing. It's literally, he's like, he's in a field. Mm-hmm. And he says he can't do this anymore. And he smashes the Alice box. And says he hopes she just goes and does beautiful magic. Oh my God, you beautiful, sad idiot. Like,
you know, he's like, I'm dying here.
Like, I love you, Quentin. Show Quentin. But like, you beautiful idiot. That's not what's going to happen. But anyway, no. He says, go free. And Alice Niffin dusts out of his body. And he sees her as Alice for a moment. Crackling with magic before she giggles and shoots off into the sky. End of episode.
Hmm. That was kind of sad at the end, you know, like.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I think like Niffin Alice was kind of like appreciative of it. She kind of looks and then she kind of smiles, does a wicked smile she does and giggles. And
yeah, like, I don't trust her, but I don't think she's going to murder Quentin.
No, I think she appreciates finally being let out for sure. He didn't put her in there, but, you know.
Right. But it is interesting to think about, like, one, he just released probably a destructive evil on the world because it looks like his ex-girlfriend. And two, as we know, there aren't, like, Niffins bopping around. So, like, what is she going to do?
Is she going to go find Friar Joseph again, I guess? But, you know, she
didn't,
like,
get out. Buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alice cop. And the Friar.
Niffin, please. That's the name
of
it.
Oh, my God. Right, can we please have a Niffin, please shirt?
Niffin, please. Just, please. Like, blue flame girl. Like, what's up?
Funny.
Like, oh, what did you think, audience? You know, did you think about Margot's deal with the fairies or the fact that Quentin just let Niffin Alice go? Ugh. So let us know on some socials, okay?
So much drama. There's so much drama to come.
There is, and there's, oh my gosh. What did you think about the musical number? Let us know. Come on. Reach out to Orlean at Spooky Orlean or to the show at The Rewatch Recap on Instagram and Threads or me on TikTok at Dustin_Holden. We hope to hear back from you, and we hope you come back for Season 2, Episode 10, The Girl Who Told Time. Moo.
That sounds fun.
She can read a watch. Anyway. Until next week, everybody, have a good one. Bye.
Bye.